lab that has been used accredited to produce those kind of chemistry or microbial results. So it's an ongoing program, Chair, that we participate on, and we gladly report that we comply 99.9%. The results speak for themselves. Despite the fact that you'll remember, Chair, that Blue Water is one of the entities in the country that treats the very, I would say, dirty water that you can find in terms of the sanitation. Our raw water quality from the Velvedag catchment, as the chairperson has alluded to, due to sanitation, is very tepid, and it's very difficult and very complex, because it also brings your industrial effluents from the soil to everything that you can hoi in the water. You'll find it in Velvedag. So we very pride ourselves in getting to that standard of 99.9%. And with continuous monitoring, where you also refer your results to your independent laboratory, the University of Free State, to say, internally we've got our own mechanism, our own laboratory, but we are also monitored by an external service provider. We've got the expertise of your PhD people who are doing microbiology, et cetera, et cetera. So we pride ourselves in those results and we stand firm on those results.
I mean, Minister, the reason why I'm insisting on this quality of water. Granted, the department is supposed to publish those reports, Blue Drop and Green Drop reports. Like tariffs are regionalized. Each water board has to set its own tariffs from bulk, from raw to bulk and bulk to municipalities. To a point where such reports, as we receive them, clearly at a national level, you have one set of report that gives a picture of a countrywide setup in terms of quality of water. Both also the standards that rivers find themselves in. When we get reports of this nature from if you like regions in the form of your water board, whilst on the other hand you have the national department lagging behind in terms of production of such reports, wouldn't it, I'm thinking aloud here, wouldn't it be a wiser move to really begin to think along the lines of having to regionalize such reports, such that you have the various water boards reporting on their respective quality of water, also in terms of their own rivers. Again, the point being the department lagging behind, whether we are able to catch up with what is expected of us as a department at a national level. It could be something that we may wish to think about. Just listening, I'm being prompted by the report from Bloomwater, given the state of affairs insofar as the quality of water from source, as in raw water, the treatment that goes through that. It's something that I just thought, let me just throw, as I'm thinking about it. Members, if there is nothing else on the Bloom Water, we should then move straight to Citibank without waste of time. You have no introduction, Minister, or remark, rather? Before we get on to Citibank. No, sorry. I'm missing the point. Sorry. We are supposed to take questions and comments. Citibank. Unless we are exhausted, from where I'm seated, we haven't engaged on Citibank. There was only one question, and I'd requested them to hold on a bit.
I did
pose
for Sajibela.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe the other members
will
want to add.
Yeah.
Mr. Baswan,
noted, Dr.
Kalim. Chairperson, there is a huge problem in North West between Sedibeng and the municipalities. And we have visited those areas last year. And we got to a situation where the municipalities are blaming Seribeng. And Seribeng is saying, no, it's not their responsibility, they're blaming the municipality. And that's now for 4 years, for 5 years, it's an ongoing problem that when there's no water in a certain area where Seribeng has taken over some of the responsibilities, then nobody's doing it. The municipality is not doing anything, Seribeng is not doing anything. How do they see that situation could be changed in the Northwest?
Dr. Kami?
Oh, thanks, Chair. Well, I've got some, I think it's two questions, if not three. The first one is the finding of the Auditor General. The Auditor General made mention that there were effective steps that were not followed, especially on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Can I be clarified as to in the very same steps that the Auditor General has identified, have they ever been able to resolve those in terms of the compliance, especially on the SCM law and regulations? The second one is in terms of the effective step to prevent a wasteful expenditure of 597,000 as disclosed on the annual report here. I just wanted to find out as to, in terms of this fruitless expenditure, the majority of them, when you read into that particular document, they are almost a fruitless and a wasteful expenditure. And it says that they are caused by late invoices and late payments. Can I get a clarity as to why is it the case? I think the last one, Chair, is also in terms of financial. Because the Auditor General has found that there was a usefulness and reliability of report performance on information. So the AG identified 4 performance objectives that were not useful and reliable. So I just wanted to check as to whether what the AG has raised here, it has been addressed. So they just briefly explain as to how did they resolve that particular finding by the AG. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure if this my question was asked. In terms of procurement for Val Hamakhara pipeline project, there seems to be a complete non-compliance with regards to that project. Is it possible that they can give us a full list of all the successful bidders and the whole process that was followed regards that issue? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Minister.
I have nothing to say, Chair, for now. Thank you.
Chairperson?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I will
deal with only one or two, and the rest I will give to our technocrats. Firstly, let me start first with Honorable Basson's concern in Northwest about the blame game between Citibank and municipalities. Because of non-performance of, more especially Lingaka Mudirimulema, of municipalities, the then minister gave a number of directives for Citibank to come and assist. Citibank will come in, sort out problems after they've made an analysis. I'll make a typical example of Swahing as an example. There are about 17 boreholes covering one of the municipalities. If Citibank came when there was no water and we found of the 17 boreholes, there was one pump that was changed from the size to a small one. And when the electricity tripped, it tripped for the entire municipality. We came and fixed it and we handed over to the municipality. But if that problem happens again, the blame goes to Citibank whilst municipality have not done their things. And it has been an observation through a number of areas, even in Mahikeng and the like. We fix a borehole. It's a diesel borehole. When the diesel is finished, which is supposed to be supplied by the municipality, they turn around and said, no, no, it's not their road, it should be Citibank. So it has just been a blame game thing, which we have tried to get sorted out between the role players. Honorable Doctor spoke about the leadership issues in Citibank. I think Minister, in his input, he have highlighted that he's sorting out the issues of the board establishment. With regard to the issue of the CE appointment, the processes are on course to advertise for the position. With regard to the investigations which were done prior to the resignation of the then CE, there have been disciplinary cases as well as criminal cases opened based on the findings. Lastly, Mam Kaula, in her absence, the issue of where we are drilling boreholes but there are no water. Maybe one can single out again Northwest, but especially the two districts being Aga Mudirimulema and Dr. Ruth. Just some 20 or plus years ago, the water challenge came to light and advices were given as to how to address that. But the municipality opted to continue with their borehole of processes rather than installing pipelines. Pipelines could have costed by then about 1.3 billion. But the current investigation to solve that problem, it's ranging in a region of about 8 billion. And I think Bluewater made an example of something of that nature. The challenge is that because of the socio-economic developments that have taken place, most of the people have moved from the rural areas into townships and the like. Mafikeng, as an example, have been dependent on boreholes all the years. But the size of the population have grown 15, 20 times. But the size of the aquifer is still remaining the same. The second challenge is the climate change that we are facing. So the aquifers cannot cope to provide water to. Studies have been made and it shows that to resolve that we need a reliable source from a surface water rather than depending on
on underground water, and the cost is ranging in the vicinity of about 8 billion. But the rest of the other questions, I think I'll give both to the CE and the CFO to deal with.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Just to address some of the questions raised, there was a question on the CSI programs, 13 of them. The question was relating to the monetary value. In the financial year, we spent about 260,000. We have a policy of allocating 20,000 per entity, and then there is applications received with adjudication committee that we set up, and then to look at those in the our areas of operation. And then there was a question relating to performance information, relating to the audit, whether they are reliable or useful. The issue there was relating to whether some of the definitions that we're using are smart. Do they fit the smart principle? And we are addressing that in our five-year business plan. They were highlighted by the Auditor General, and we are in that process, and then it will be closed in the next round. And then there was a question relating to skills development. The major impact there to saying that aren't we killing the youth by not embarking on that program? Major impact was actually on an EWCETA sponsored program relating to process controllers. The process went as far as we identified people and so forth, but then they said the budget doesn't allow, so it will be revisited in the next financial year. And then the issue of debtors' days, and then the plan to recover debt owed to Stephen Water. Some of the actions that we've done include engagements with those particular municipalities. We've done water restrictions. We are participating in the interministerial task team. And then there's also the drawing up of the compilation of repayment plans which are not honored. And then there's also interventions like the Section 216 letters to try and assist. So it's still a problem. There's no resolution, but we're making all these attempts like either bilateral and with other like COGTA helping out in that regard. And then I think the other question is relating to procurement for Valhamahara projects. We'll make that information available relating to the full list of who was successful and so forth. And then the issue, I think the chairperson had touched on it, which is the
process. You talk about that. Can you just take us very, very briefly on the processes towards procurement? Procurement processes.
Can I handle it? Chair, with regard to the Valhamahara project, we advertised the Valhamahara second phase as early as 2016. But processes have been delayed. Normally, an advert runs for about 120 days. So we ran the first 120. The company that, after all the supply chain process were followed, there was a company appointed by the name of, I think it was a Keep after the GIP was appointed, awarded the tender in November, if my memory still serves me well. About a week or two thereafter, there was objection from one of the consulting firms that have tendered to say in their observation, the company that was appointed, it's in terms of the CIDB, have expired. We investigated that administratively, and it was found that by the time they tendered, their CIDB was still valid. But because of the 120 days period, it expired within that time. But this company that was objecting have gone to the High Court in Bloemfontein, and the advice was that we need to go and investigate, and that and internally it was decided that that contract must be terminated and we must re-advertise. So the GIP contract was terminated. We re-advertised again for the 120. It started completely afresh. The tender ran again for another 120 days. In the interim, we had a challenge between the department, because we were just the implementing agent of the department, between the department and National Treasury about the processes that we have asked for increases of the borrowing limits and the like, but it looks like we have reversed the aspect, so we must expedite that. The second tender for 120 days ran. When the evaluations were to be done, I'm saying because of what the department said, we need to deal with the situation. We requested administratively that the evaluation process must be done quickly. But during that time, we got again the second objection from another consulting firm. The objection was about the tender documentation, that it was not in line with the National Treasury as well as TCTA guidelines. After having, and that was raised by the Consulting Engineers of South Africa, CISA, representing all the consulting companies. They called the CE together with the technical staff to go and explain what they have observed on the tender process. When they came with answers, we could see that that was in line with the investigations that we have, other investigations which led to the resignation of the CE, that the tender document was not in order. Now, I'm trying to highlight that that was for the second 120, if not the third 120th term of going out on tender. So thereafter, the issue was, we have called the same consultants to submit for the tender almost three times. What is that we need to do? Because in our view, we have created ourselves more problems because of the administrative jargon that happened. And we requested that even legally, it should be looked into. And due to the urgency of the project, what can be done? And in terms of the procurement process, and for the fact that CDBM was an implementing agent of the department, the PFMA, amongst other processes, it came that there is a process that is called a section, about a 16A6. And we said, legally, let's look into how this can be implemented to meet the timelines, to reduce the time taken, almost 3 years, that we are taking to implement the same project. So, based on the advice, the process that was available was the 16A60. In our view, all processes, all legal processes have been followed. There are no anomalies in that. That's why the CE says we can provide in writing to the portfolio a detailed process of what have been what processes have been followed, Chair, which will make it then maybe after submitting that, I think a follow up can be made for direct responses to the processes unfolded. I was just trying to give a general overview. Thanks, Chair. Initially, the value of the project when we started, it was an 18.3 billion. But during the interaction of the offtakes and all the likes, the mines came with challenges of the closure of other mines because it's a 60-40 kind of a distribution where the mines were to contribute 60%. And for the social, for the communities, government was to look after the 40%. So mines kept on reducing the size and the demands from that. Currently where we are sitting, I think we are at 8.3. Today's figures, the project to be rolled out, from 18.3 it came to only about 8.3 as of today. The value for the project to be implemented will be an 8.3 project.
So the final process that you had to engage in was, what do you call it, section what?
16A6.
Translating into?
In terms of the PFMA. Is it PFMA? In terms of PFMA and Treasury Regulation, Chair, in order to, what it simply means, one, Citibank is an implementing agent for the department. Two, for you to expedite this, the department have gone out on tender. It's having about a 3-year process where it advertised for all consulting companies, and from there, the department will categorize that according to about 6 groups. More than 500 million is falling in another, that kind of capacity of consultants. So what we did, we asked the department to piggyback on their database to identify a company. The reason being that we have advertised almost 4 times for the same, and we are talking to the same consultants. They tend to get deeper into the thing. So that's why we piggybacked on the database of the department. So based on the database, we went for the companies that have having a capacity to do more than 500 million kind of a project value. And out of that, it was identified which company needs to be appointed. That's how that 16A6 gives directives. But like we say, Chair, rather than getting too technical, maybe it might be better for us to submit the portfolio committee with a written process as to how we came to that decision.
Okay, are we fine, members? Mr. Hugo?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I would appreciate if they can maybe forward us with a list of all the successful bidders and the whole process that was followed in terms of because there's too many explaining this from 18 billion and down. Maybe a full report will assist me. Thank you, Chairperson.
We find that. What I would recommend you do, Minister, on such a huge project, currently standing at 8.3 billion rand, whether you advertise 3 times or 5 times, to draw from a database legally, when you talk here PMFA, I hear the section and the regulation you mentioned. We have a huge project worth 8 billion rand simply from a database. What I would recommend we do, Minister, we allow your department to assist Citibank in that process of administering that procurement process and follow the proper procedures expected, and do all what it takes to talk at the end about that whole adjudication. I don't think it can be right to simply take from the database on a big project like that. That's my take. That's my take, members. I hear the point about getting a written report about following processes, but I'm frankly speaking not comfortable. It's not an emergency project for all intents and purposes. Even if it was an emergency, by law, you're supposed to talk of anything from a million rand upward, having to go public. If it is an emergency, anything from a million downwards, then you're talking an emergency to a point where maintenance of such infrastructure projects, they get to be part of that emergency. But still, even there, you have to call for your quotations, not just simply to pick anyone from your database. So, if you like, we should really, as Parliament, find it difficult to allow that process to proceed. To put it bluntly, I am saying, let us stop that process and allow the minister and the department to follow due processes in appointing whoever that has to be, in a fair, as we follow the constitution, in a fair, equitable, and transparent manner. That would be the take. I don't know what other members say. It's a simple, straightforward proposition. Do you have any views, members, on that? You fine? Dr. Kabini?
Chair, I think you are saying correct thing. But I wanted to stressfully ask the minister to babysit CDV.
Are we fine, members? Mom Kona?
Ngibonge, Chairperson, but ngizofuna le nto ukuyifaka in record. Because kungenzeka next year we are not coming back, next term now we are not come back songela. Ukuthi le nto iqaqe ukuthi asikho happy or angikho happy ngendlela okwenzeke ngayo. Omasipala bakhombisa okukhulu ungacabangeli abantu bakithi bala eSouth Africa, ikakhulukazi abamnyama, owayi thina sizikhandla nosihlalo wethu. Kuyimanje bengikhala ngokuthi kuba kuya ngami bengizothi akaphinde abe lo sihlalo waleli komiti ngendlela yomsebenzi engibone ewenza, ekhombisa ukuthi uyayithanda ukubona izwi lakhe liyaphambili, ekhombisa ukuthanda abantu bakubo, abantu bala eSouth Africa bamnyama ababakhokhi bentela. Although benginenye ke futhi ukuthi uba kuyangihambe sengizovele ngithi nje bamtholele la abe uminister, kodwa ke ngithi ayive ibuhlungu inhliziyo yami. ukuthi sisebenze kanzima but phansi kodwa uthole ukuthi abayimisele ukuthi babone besebenzisana naleli komiti kuyisa iy'mpilo zabantu phambili. Ngiyabonga.
I'm sure you know what to translate and what not to translate.
Unfortunately, Chair, I have to say as much as I could from what she said. But just to summarize, I would like to put this on record, and that we may not, some of us may not come back. And I would also like to say that we are not happy, or that I am not happy, the way the municipalities are treating our people. It seems like they don't think about the communities whilst we work so hard in this parliament. And I would also wish that the chair, together with this committee, would return and he would continue to be the chair. If possible, maybe he could get a chance and be a minister somewhere. But
thank you. That's the view, Minister, that hoping that other members have the same view. The processes must be done fairly, equitably, and transparently. It's a huge project. Lots and lots of taxpayers' money is there. We cannot just afford to have just out of the database. This is a company. Granted, there's been a bit of time spent, almost 4 years or 3 years, whatever. But let us follow the law. We cannot just simply wish things like this, the manner in which we are doing. In a nutshell, let us allow your processes to proceed and not allow the water board simply to go the route they are going. So that would be the view we hold as Parliament, and I want to believe, having looked at other members nodding, that we are fine with that. Mr. Mguni, Mr. Hugo, you fine? Mr. Watson? Okay, you have expressed your view. Okay, that should be it, unfortunately, Sidibeng. We should not allow you to do that. It's not right politically and administratively. If there are any other things, members, I think we should then allow for other water boards to come through. We've taken longer, unfortunately, but it was important and necessary. We still have more work to do even after lunch because we still, as I said, administrative and both minutes and also reports that we still have to go through. Thanks, Sidibeng, and thanks, Bloomwater. And Minister, I think that brings us to Randwater and the Army. I'm not sure, Minister, if you have any comments to make as they prepare themselves.
Sorry, Chairperson. I had one question. Can maybe the department just tell us the status of the two boards? I don't think that was answered.
You want to respond to that briefly? The status of the two water boards. Bloomwater and also CDM.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, that's what I was talking about earlier. I was indicating that Bloomwater has been approved last week and the last cabinet committee, rather the last cabinet meeting, approved the water board. So it is a good standing. Citibank, why I was late this morning here, is because we're trying to get a recommendation from the for this selection panel. You know, so because there's one minister, the premier, who has not submitted, it's Northern Cape. We are trying to deal with that, but that's not a problem now because we sorted it out this morning. So what I want to do now, I've requested the president to accept at short notice that we submit that tomorrow, the proposed board members for Citibank. That's I don't know if that's going to be successful, but that's what we were trying to work on this morning. Hopefully then we will be in a position to get it done during this this administration, the fifth administration. That was a pressure check. Thanks.
Thank you. Minister, we can go through Rainwater and also CNTF. If you have any comments to make or remarks.
Chair, in the interest of time, I think that Rainwater could present. I was checking with the chairperson in return from New York because she had attended the United Nations Water. So, but the deputy chairperson is here, so we can proceed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, ma'am. Brief introduction of yourself and your team, and then shoot straight.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. Honourable Chairperson, esteemed members of the committee, Honourable Minister, my fellow board colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. My name is Kulega Lembonambi. I'm the Deputy Chairperson of the Board. I was requested by the Chairperson of the Board to be the Chairperson in this meeting. As the Minister has already alluded to, the Chairperson is on an international trip to the UN and her flight was delayed. She is landing sometime this afternoon or sometime today, and as a result, she will not be able to join this meeting. She sends her regards, and she has also sent her apology in writing to us. Chairperson, I know you have indicated that you received letters of apology from some of the board members. We have more letters, and with your permission, Chairperson, I would like to go through the letters that you've received for the record to ensure that they are recorded accordingly. And I would also request the Cabinet Secretary to provide those letters to the Chairperson and the committee. May I list the names of the people? So maybe before I do, Chair, I would like, on behalf of the board, to apologize profusely that you only have five board members in attendance today, but it was because of situations beyond our control. So the apologies that you received, Chairperson, is from Ms. Mazia, is from Mr. Makibinyane, is from Ms. Gabi, is from Mr. Pili, Ms. Mbandra, and Mr. Pandor. Chairperson, we are relatively a new board. We are appointed in September 2018. We are made up of seven new members and five returning members. With your permission, Chairperson, I would like to introduce members of the board present today or ask them to introduce themselves.
My name is Ramadeo Munyokolo. I'm a returning board member of Rainwater. Thank you.
Good afternoon, honorable members and chair and minister. My name is Mankoli Ntshaba. I'm a new board member at Rainwater.
Thank you, Chairperson, the minister, and honorable portfolio committee members. I'm Sofu Mulugwane Machika. I'm the returning board member.
Uh, Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Nomsa Mbilini. I'm also a returning member of the board.
Chairperson, on governance matters, we are happy to report that as the board, we collectively comprise of individuals who together have the necessary skills, experience, and competences to execute our oversight function effectively. The core competences of the board are in the areas of accounting and finance, legal and compliance, ICT, engineering and natural sciences, strategy and vision, as well as water sector knowledge. To ensure that we are fully functional with regards to rainwater business and to enable the board to hit the ground running, we have received a comprehensive induction in line with rainwater's requirements to gain insight into the operations. The induction process, undertaken with the assistance of returning members, executives, and the secretariat function, we believe equipped us for the work ahead of us, which is to fulfill the fiduciary duties. As the board chairperson, we have a responsibility to determine the entity's strategic direction and be enabler to reach and exceed its performance. In order to achieve its strategic intent, the board has set 5 strategic objectives. The first one is to achieve operational integrity and use best technology. Second one is to achieve a high performance culture. The third one is to positively engage stakeholder base. The fourth one is to achieve growth. And the last one is to maintain financial health. In terms of performance, Chairperson, management will provide the integrity of performance information. I will provide a high-level exposition of the performance at Rainwater. It is indeed a great pleasure and privilege for me to reflect on the financial year 2017-18 and to provide the portfolio committee with insight into the performance of Rainwater, albeit at a very high level. Rainwater continues to produce a good set of results in spite of the challenges encountered in the financial year 2017-18. We commend the hardworking men and women of Rainwater who contributed to this performance, especially management led by the acting CE and the contribution made by the former CE. In terms of performance information, Chairperson, Rainwater achieved 30 of its 40 targets, missing 8. Because 8 are not measurable in the current in the financial year 17-18. The affected areas relate to KPIs in the capital expenditure program, water losses where projects needed to be executed, the KPIs related to jobs that are created during the execution of projects. The KPI on CAPEX program, Chairperson, is linked to the strategic objective aimed at achieving operational integrity and use-based technology, which I spoke to earlier. In terms of financial performance, as a board, we are pleased to report growth in revenue, growth in gross income, which increased by 19%, growth in net income at 3.1 billion, an increase of about 33% year on year. It is disappointing to report reduction in K-Tax spending, which decreased from 2.2 billion in the previous year to 1.7 in the current year, which is roughly about 22%. This Chairperson reflects an alignment between the concern that you raised and the performance information on K-Tax program and the financial spending on that particular KPI. Compliance with laws and regulations. We noted a few non-compliance issues with SCM prescripts, which was reported by the AG in their audit report. However, overall, the entity performed very well, exceeding some of the targets, even though we missed some. Cost containment measures and efficiency strategies continues to yield positive results. Growth in margins and returns as a result of operational efficiencies is commendable and a clear indication of a culture of responsible spending and strict financial management. Chairperson, Rainwater has once again achieved a financially unqualified audit opinion with few matters of emphasis. We continue to strive as the board towards the attainment of a clean audit in terms of financial reporting and reduce issues on performance information. In terms of the areas of concern, Chairperson, both from the internal and external environment, the first one is the inability to achieve the corporate target on CAPEX, largely because of challenges in the SEM environment. We were disappointed as the board because we didn't achieve the target, and the board has directed management to indicate whether there are any hindrances to performance that can be eased without compromising on legal prescripts that Rainwater needs to comply with. We appreciate that management has addressed some of these, some of the bottlenecks, and management is focusing a lot of attention on this matter. Some contracts have recently been signed, and we expect traction in the remaining months of the current financial year. This is in line with the catch-up plan that the board is monitoring closely. In terms of the next area, Chairperson, non-compliance with the FBM prescripts, where we reported instances of irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. A lot of focus is still needed in the FBM environment. In fact, we have ranked this as our number one risk, and the board continues to monitor the mitigation proposed by management. We have, however, noted the efforts by management to capacitate the FBM unit, both in terms of the numbers, but also in terms of the requisite skill set. Management is still engaging with National Treasury on irregular expenditure where there are grey areas in the interpretation of the legislation, and we are hopeful that these issues will be resolved before the end of the current financial year. Chairperson, in terms of consequence management, which is key, there are investigations underway to ascertain if there were any transgressions, and the outcome of these investigations will assist the board to decide on the appropriate course of action. Chairperson, our first prize as the board is to implement preventative measures to ensure instances of irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure do not recur. Through the work of the Audit Committee, we are confident that the root cause analysis of each FBM-related matter is done to ensure that we implement lasting preventative controls. On the external environment, Chairperson, we are still concerned, just like all other water boards, with the levels of outstanding municipal debt. The growing inability by municipalities to pay our debts is concerning, and we continue to engage all stakeholders. Chairperson, it is important to note that this has an impact on the financial viability and sustainability of Rainwater. Increased litigation stemming from FCM issues resulting in the contingent liability disclosure and also just general contract management issue are also a cause for concern. Encroachment on rainwater servitude, the board has worked closely with management to strengthen the plans and strategies to address this high risk area. But the cooperation of the other external party is key, because should the risk in this area materialize, it'll be a disaster. Chairperson, we are still struggling to get payments from DWS on war on leaks and CDBM water projects and other debts. As I conclude, Chairperson, we also take note of the presentation by the AG to the committee and their report. We have noted the issues raised in the AG report, particularly the significant audit effort by the delay by the AG, which was as a result of delays experienced during the audit process. We have asked management to engage the AG post the audit process to iron out the issues which were mainly in the interpretation and application of the accounting standards and legislation. This engagement will come very handy in preparation and execution and concluding of the AG of the audit by the AG in the 2018-19 financial year. Lastly, Chairperson, we are also monitoring the implementation of management actions to address the control deficiencies raised by the AG in the 2017-18 report. At an appropriate time, we will get assurance from our internal assurance providers on the adequacy and effectiveness of the controls which will assist us work towards the attainment of the clean audit. So, Chairperson, we thank you for this opportunity to engage the committee on the annual report, and at this stage I would like to hand over to the CEO. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Chair of the Portfolio Committee, Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee, Honourable Minister, the board members that are here, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. My name is Sipho Musai. I'm the Acting Chief Executive of Rainwater. I'm very happy to report very good set of report, financial report for the year 2017-2018. Really, that is underpinned by an excellent, robust performance in various areas of triple bottom line KPIs, from social, economic, operational, and legal point of view. But before I really go to the actual performance, I thought I should just at high level share with the committee and provide a brief background of who Rainwater is and where do we operate, and really at the heart of our core business, what do we do. We provide bulk water services to municipalities like many other water boards, probably the oldest water board around, over 115 years. Our distribution network expands to 3,000 kilometers of large diameter pipe, the biggest being 3.5 diameter pipe. We have just under 60 strategically located bulk reservoirs. Our main customers are municipalities, followed by mines and industry. On average, we supply about 4,500 megaliters of water a day, and then we have, in fact, peaked at a demand of close to 5,008. In terms of our shareholder compact, corporate business plan and budget, nothing much has changed in that area. It still followed an old prescribed process. Right at the top, we have the presidency and the ministry under the leadership of Honorable Minister Mkhwinti. And then we also give through this slide, without going through in details thereof, give an indication of how it relates to our own department and other departments. And right at the bottom there, it talks about KPIs that we established that all the way fits into the presidential outcomes. Our vision, mission, and strategic themes have not changed. The chairperson talked about, Deputy Chair shared with us our strategic themes that you find on the right hand of the slide, and our vision has really not changed over the years, as it was in the previous years, to provide sustainable, universally competitive water and sanitation solutions. Our 2030 strategic vision has really not changed. It's still underpinned by right at the top there, growth initiatives that we from time to time revisit and define their way and expression in our corporate business plan. And of course, from the outcomes, presidential outcome that deals with skills, we have a Rainwater Academy. I'll share with you its performance also during the year that was. Underpinned by that, we also take a very close look at our top 10 risks that we continuously, depending on the external and environmental challenges, as and when they change, revisit those risks. Quality and quantity of raw water, we keep a close eye on that because it's a function of the quality of water and the actual expenditure we incur produce drinking water. Although we are an urban water board, we also place emphasis on rural development through our academy and other projects. So that will still form a part of our 2030 vision. And bulk sanitation, as I indicate, we always align, will ensure that we align with the presidential outcomes, and we have an organization that is prepared to rise above those challenges. In this light, it actually depicts our area of service, starting at on the slides right, my left-hand side, depending on where you look from. We give an indication of the sources of water. Most of our water, if not all of it, comes from Lesotho through Gat and Mohale Dam. It makes its way to the Vaal Dam, from which we abstract. We also have the ability to abstract from Bloemhof Dam. Should we have a problem in water coming from Lesotho, insofar as Filim Vaal Dam is concerned, but that is our backup resource.
actually expensive to get water from down there, precisely because you are pumping from upstream. We operate mainly in Gauteng, but we have a small footprint in Free State, Northwest, Limpopo, and our area of operation expands to the entire Mpumalanga. Chair, at the heart of Rainwater's business model is the issue of governance and ensuring that at relevant levels we provide combined assurance. So you would have right at the center of the slide the board, the chief executive, the executive committee divisions and the department in a way, if you like, surrounded and supported by aspects of governance, risk, compliance and ethics to ensure that from the MindMap point of view, we have a sound governance framework to enable us to operate in a compliant way. This slide really just unpacks the details of governance outcomes. We have a portfolio that plays, which is group governance portfolio, an oversight role insofar as the overall organization governance is concerned. Continuously, they assist us to define and enforce corporate governance, adhere to regulatory and statutory framework, appropriate corrective and preventative actions are taken as and when they are picked, identify and anticipate key proactively emerging business risks factors, and implement mitigation methods to minimize the risks that would have been identified, and overall assist in ensuring that the business provide combined assurance to Rainwater in an integrated manner. Just to pull out some of the activities that emanate from that space, particularly from fraud prevention strategy point of view, we have a fraud prevention policy that also takes a very close look on how we're managing our human resources. For example, ensuring that the staff is vetted as the first line of defense, as an example. But we also have also intertwined with that the fraud risk mitigation measures and ensuring that we manage it continuously. As I indicated, at the heart of the GRCE framework that we have adopted in running our business, risk comes very important. In fact, it's at the center of informing what we need to focus, improve going forward. We identify risks. We have a long, long list of risks. I'm just pulling out, we just pull out in this slide the top 10 risk, high-level risk that the board continuously monitors. And depending, as I indicated earlier, on external and internal imperatives, these risks are continuously looked at. For the year, that was the number one risk was encroachment of our pipelines and servitude. This has become a serious risk for us. As I indicated, we have a pipeline network extending to 3,000 kilometers, and we are an institution that has been existing for over 115 years. So over the years, people have been building infrastructure in our pipe. And if we talk about a pipe of 3.5 meter diameter pipe, and we have all sorts of encroachment in our pipes, should anything happen in those pipes, the consequences will be extremely vital. So we manage this risk and we identify this one as the most important risk in the year that was, followed by climate change and its impact on the future sustainability of the company. We monitor that. The third one is our sludge that we generate after we have treatment water, mainly from lime,
and implementation of infrastructure projects, CAPEX, and what is important as part of our core business is ensure continuously that we supply reliable water quality and therefore electricity, critical spares and chemicals are the line items that we continuously monitor with, because without which we will not be able to supply water. Chair, in the current year, there has been movement on this risk, precisely because of the areas that the Deputy Chair has highlighted around supply chain. So if you were to have a look at our current risk register now, risk number nine, is currently risk number one, to ensure that at corporate level we deal with the issues that are the issues of serious challenge with regards to our performance in 2017 and 2018. So there will be that movement, and there is that movement, and risk number one is currently risk number 10. Thank you. Just in terms of the financial snapshot for the year that was 2017-2018, from revenue point of view, Chair, we have had an increase of 12% increase, an increase of 12% from 12 billion to a revenue of 13.5 billion when we closed the financial year. Our net income increased by 33% from 2.375 billion to 3.148 billion. Our gross income increased by 19% from 3.982 billion to 4.737 billion. Our total asset increased by 12% from 24 billion to 27 billion. We were able to also, during the year under review, reduce our total liabilities by 3% from 8.5 billion to 8.1 billion. As Chairperson has, the Deputy Chair has indicated, we had a drop in the CAPEX spend in the year under review. It was decreased by 20% from 2.2 billion to 1.8 billion CAPEX that we roll out in 2017 and 2018. In this light, really at high level, we just unpack the revenue numbers. The increase of from 1.98 billion in 2017 to 13.45 billion in 2018 was really underpinned by price and volume. From the price point of view, as a result of the tariff increase, we saw an impact of 1.2 billion, and from volume point of view, as a result of an increase of 2.1% in the volume increase in the year under review, we saw a jump of 251. So if you take that 1.2 billion plus 251, actually, or were the actual contributing facts, factors that gave us that increase from 11.9 to 20.45. In terms of the makeup of our customers, insofar as revenue generation is concerned and water supply is concerned, Johannesburg Metro, the city of Johannesburg, remains our biggest consumer, followed by Ekurhuleni, Tshwane, Emfuleni, and other municipalities. For the year under review, as I indicated earlier, our average water supply was 4,508 milliliters of water a day. We peaked at 4,728 megaliters of water a day. We also supply Bushbuck Ridge Municipality as part of our area of expansion with 117 milliliters of water a day. Chair, when we report, we only not look at the numbers in terms of our performance. We have embraced the notion of triple bottom line. We also report from social, environmental, and economic performance point of view. I'm happy again to report socially we also did extremely well. We ensure continuous water supply and sanitation solution provision. Rainwater Academy will go into the details of the programs that they roll out in detail. Did pretty well. From corporate social investment point of view, our own CSR department and the Rainwater Foundation initiatives ensured that we built the necessary capacity and created jobs in the space that we were operating. So socially we did also very well. Environmentally, we implemented various environmental conservation programs and catchment programs, catchment management initiatives, and we rehabilitated various wetlands in our area of operation, mainly through our Rainwater Foundation. Economically, yes, we also did well. Year-on-year increase of revenue 12%, gross income of 19%, net income of 33%, cash from operations of 106%, and then we had a decline in CAPEX. In terms of our status with regards to the performance of the year, we have attained an unqualified audit opinion. Our borrowing limits were approved for the next 5 years. So this gives us the ability to go into the marketplace and raise the necessary capital should we wish to in the outer years as we roll out our CAPEX. Currently there's no need, but there will be in the outer years. So the borrowing limits approval for the next 5 years give us the flexibility to go into the marketplace to augment our cash reserves to roll out our CAPEX. From financial capital point of view, we saw a strong improvement in operating margins and returns in excess of weighted cost of capital value created. From compliance point of view, with regards to international organizations and standards, we attained various certifications. The first one is the corporate ISO 9001:2000 was achieved. OHSAS 9001:2007 was achieved. Our laboratories achieved ISO 17025, and environmentally we also achieved 14001. From shared management point of view, with respect to our work environment, the workplace standards, compliance to applicable legislation was also achieved, safety equipment fit for purpose, cradle to grave practices. From hazardous point of view, programs were implemented, sound contract management, and the equipment that procured was fit for use. From SHE, I've indicated that our 18001 was upgraded and we achieved it, 14001, 9000, and occupational health management reporting also achieved. SHEC, leadership commitment at all levels was achieved, occupational health management, appropriate check training undertaken, and effective communication across the board as a requirement of check management system was also achieved. Chair, you also requested us to talk a bit about energy renewal. In terms of rainwater point of view, we spent close to 2 billion South African rands on energy per annum. So it's a substantial amount of money. What we do on an ongoing basis, in fact literally on an hour basis, we manage our energy usage. You will see, despite the fact that the cost of energy is growing, if you look at the cents kilowatt per hour in 2013, we're sitting at 65.31, but in 2018, we're sitting at 98.51. On the extreme right of the slide, you will see that in terms of megawatts per hour, with regards to megaliters of water that we use a day, we have been able to maintain that. Precisely because of some of the interventions that we are putting in place internally, insofar as energy management is concerned. We just don't pump 24 hours, we pump off-peak as one of the examples. We have installed variable speed drives in our entire operation. In other words, pumps pump as and when the amount of water there that is needed. From renewable energy point of view, Chair, in 2014 we conceived what we call a cogeneration project. This is essentially...
I can see your passion.
Precisely because I saw your passion.
Absolutely nothing wrong. Maria, just reminding me that you are on your 11th page of your slides.
Okay.
With how many? 46.
Yeah. I think it's a reflection of how big groundwater
is. I totally agree with you. But I'm trying to find a middle road. If you can assist us.
Okay, Chair, I'll rush the presentation. The next page. No, but Chair, I need to finish this one because you and I are equally passionate about the wind, the renewable energy one. Yes, we wanted to roll out cogeneration from as way back as 2014. This is to use hydropower, the energy that the kinetic energy we generate as we distribute water through our pipes. We got an approval then from the National Treasury to go ahead with it, but we did not get an approval from the department. We are currently revisiting that project, the numbers, and then we'll follow another, the same process that we followed in 2014 to see if as much as possible as Renota, we can get off the grid. As I indicate, 2 billion rand is a lot of money, and we currently by and large dependent on Eskom for that. We do have generators, but we can use only those generators tertiary sites. For a company that uses 1.6 billion kilowatts per hour, it's just impossible. There's no such genset out there. So we need to look at hydropower going forward. So that we'll continuously look at, and I suppose it answers that question of renewable energy. Right. As it has been indicated, Chair, our debtors days have also increased. We used to pride ourselves with the debtors days that are in the 30 days kind of a space, but our debtors days has gone to 55 days. For rainwater, that is a lot of money. I mean, we're sitting with the municipalities and debtors book of close to 3.1 billion rand. So it may not be 600 days, but 55 days in terms of the business that we run is an obscene amount of money. We managed to meet all the peak daily demands. We managed to ensure that the quality of water that we supply, it sounds compliant, and our customer-centric satisfaction was achieved. Next slide. Occupational health and safety was achieved.
I can say you have until 10 minutes after 1. Thank you, sir.
So BEE spend achieved, job creations, those are the numbers up there. Next slide. Skills development, in this slide we give an indication of the money that we have expensed on skills development. We spent 12.4 million on skills development for black employees, and 11.9 million are spent on unemployed black people through training, next slide. Our BEE level, level 3, next slide. Our leadership development was really skewed towards male folks, 104 total males and 29 females. I think this is extremely important. We highlight them because these are the areas of focus going forward on leadership. And similarly, in employment equity, if you go through the details in that slide, you'll also start seeing that it's in terms of our interventions going forward is skewed towards females. Next slide. This is training, rainwater training programs and leadership program. The red means we're spending more on females and the blue less on males to close the gaps, historical gaps. Similarly, in this slide, on learnership programs, all leadership programs are skewed towards more on females than on males as part of our community and the implement equity balance. Next slide, human capital, bottom line, we did well with regards to absenteeism, wellness, sports, recreation, and participation on national events. Rainwater Academy, people think our academy deals with World Leagues only, no. Our academy also has an international footprint. We align the institutions that we work with, both locally and internationally, to ensure that we develop a skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path. In the next slide, we share with you some of the achievements that we have made so far as National Treasury Graduate Internship Program and the Rural Development Graduate Internship Program. In the year under review. The next slide talks about war leaks, our favorite war leaks. The challenges that we reported when we had the portfolio committee and the last time with regards to war leaks remains the same. The sustainability of this project is still really dependent on continuous funding of the project by the department to ensure that at least this phase that we are at is completed. We are engaging with the department to assist us to ensure, in line with the presentation that the Honorable Minister made to the Portfolio Committee, to ensure that this project, at least for this phase, is brought to close. The next slide gives an indication of the expenses, the amount of money we have expensed on corporate social investment through our Rainwater Foundation, 43.8 million from our own funding and 53.2 million from external funding. Right at the heart of that slide, we do give an indication of what those programs are. This slide, just very quickly, from Rainwater Foundation point of view, we do spend money on schools rainwater harvesting, we assist war leaks, household sanitation, bucket dedication, rural communities, water supply, and municipal support, operations and maintenance of wastewater treatment plants. In the next 10 minutes, 15 minutes that is left, I'm going to request the CFO to take us through the financials. Chair.
Okay. Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson for the Portfolio Committee and Honorable Portfolio Committee members. Honorable Minister, the board, different water boards, and colleagues. I'm just going to briefly take you through the performance, financial performance of Rainwater for the last financial year, starting off on slide number 31. I'll just skip slide 30 because it just gives an overview of our financial strategic pillars. Slide number 31 gives an overview of the performance of the critical KPIs, net income, net cash from operations, return on equity, as well as return on average assets. These are quite critical in the assessment of financial performance and the trajectory over the last 5 years. As you can see, it has actually been upward trending with good performance actually portrayed in the 2018 financial year as a result of the cost efficiencies that have actually been extracted during the period that have translated into improved bottom line performance. In the next slide that talks to then now the operational cost breakdown analysis, there we just want to actually depict that overall costs year on year have actually increased by 8%. However, we saw in this last year a significant increase in the cost of our raw water by 12%. Which has resulted in a contribution in raw water cost increasing to close to 49% compared to the previous years. The energy cost contribution decreasing in this or remaining flat in line with the previous year, only a minor increase of 3%, and we've also seen a reduction in costs in other operating costs, reducing by close to 100 million compared to the previous year as a result of the cost containment initiatives that were implemented. In the next slide is a statement of financial performance where we just portray the net income increase of 33% to 3.1 billion, and we're highlighting that 33% increase mainly driven by improvement in the gross margins, improvement in the net operating expenditures, mainly as a result of slide number 33, we're highlighting that we've had a contribution from the reduction in the impairment of debtors of 105 million compared to the previous year as a result of the improvement in the repayments profile that have actually been experienced from our municipalities compared to the previous year. However, though there is a positive trend in the collections that we've actually seen in this last year, it has actually not necessarily improved and taken us back to 3 to 4 years ago. When you move on to slide number 34 on the statement of financial position, indicating an increase in our total assets by 12% to 26.9 billion, mainly driven by the increase in non-current assets as a result of the capital expenditure that we deployed of 1.8 billion. We've also highlighting in that particular slide that we've had a significant increase in our cash and cash equivalents. We're seeing in our cash surpluses sitting at 1.8 billion, a billion rand increase, and the main contributor towards that increase in cash and cash equivalents is as a result of the improvement in our cash conversion cycle, working capital movements that we've highlighted at the bottom, wherein there is an improvement in the collections, as well as the now a reduction in our trade payables over the period that has actually unlocked over close to 550 million over the period. And that, we want to also highlight that the cash and cash equivalents, they now have actually been set aside in order to address our operational requirements. We've got the cash balances that we actually need to actually maintain. We need to actually maintain a redemption portfolio for our upcoming redemption of the RW21 bond that is actually maturing in 2021. So we've set aside a sinking fund for 512 million that is included in that cash surplus. And as part of our credit rating requirements, we are required to actually maintain a liquidity buffer of 859 million that can actually cover us in case of liquidity shocks. The next slide, number 35, indicates where the capital expenditure that was experienced in this last year. The main investment was actually made towards the creation of pipeline infrastructure, 55% thereof, and 31% was for the invested in our purification infrastructure. The plan for the next 5 years, amounting to 26 billion of capital expenditure, the profile thereof is also depicted below, where the significant investment earmarked towards pipelines and 7% towards the now creation of reservoirs, which will actually be our storage of water, and 13% would actually then now be invested in pumping facilities. From a debt profile perspective, on slide number 36, we're highlighting that our debt profile has remained the same. So we have not raised any further debt since 2016. Our overall interest-bearing debt sitting at 4.4 billion, which is actually made up of three bonds that were actually issued, and with the earliest one to redemption being RW21, amounting to 1.7 billion, and we've got 3 years left to a redemption of that particular debt. The next slide talks to the balance sheet flexibility, because it's always important that as we're actually managing performance, we need to ensure financial health and sustainability, looking at whether our balance sheet isn't healthy enough to enable us to invest into our into the infrastructure, and do we have sufficient capacity to actually raise external debt to actually leverage the balance sheet that we currently have to actually fund the requirements. So we're highlighting that our debt to equity has actually reduced compared to the previous year. It's sitting at 23.4%. Which is actually a good picture. It says we have now sufficient room to actually raise additional debt on our books, and we have put in place our facilities to ensure that in the case of liquidity constraints, we are able to actually tap into those facilities, and currently we've got undrawn facilities amounting to 6.6 billion. With 1.1 billion being bank facilities that are committed, and we do have a domestic medium-term note agreement that is actually registered on the JSE of 10 billion, and we've utilized 4.4 billion, so we do have available that we can tap into 5.6 billion. So this actually demonstrates the flexibility and capacity that is actually contained within our balance sheet. From the next slide on the cost of debt, we're highlighting that over the period we've actually managed to actually reduce the cost of debt, and we're currently sitting at 9.93%. There hasn't been much activity from a debt raising perspective in the last 3 years. But what we have then now done as part of the now the strategy towards redemption of the latest earlier maturing bond, which is the RW21 in 2021, we have started participating in the secondary market, wherein we have been buying back our RW21 bond that is actually
actually available. And this we are actually doing in order to ensure that we are able to reduce the cost of that particular debt instrument. From a secondary activities perspective, delivering on our growth strategy, we just keep providing an indication of the overall performance of the segments that we are currently operating. From a rainwater Mpumalanga perspective, highlighting that there has been positive contribution towards the bottom line by that segment, contributing 32 million even after we have considered the impairment of the major customers, highlighting that the contracts that we actually had with the city of Mbombela for the operations and maintenance came to an end at the end of May in the previous year. From a secondary activities perspective, two critical projects that we have been rolling out and implementing on behalf of the department relating to the Sidibeng regional sewer scheme as well as the war on leaks have contributed 78% to our overall secondary activity. Project revenues in this particular regard coming to just over 900 million, but overall contribution also positive. From a rainwater academy perspective as well, a net positive contribution to the bottom line as well experience from this particular segment of the entity. Now coming to irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we are reporting that for this particular year under review, we've recorded 117 million of irregular expenditure and 11.8 million wasteful expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Starting first with the fruitless and wasteful, we're highlighting that this particular expenditure was incurred as a result of legal proceedings that were actually instituted against.
We shall have to read for ourselves the irregular and fruitless expenditure. We shall take the tariffs having been tabled. If any members shall have any issues to raise, there are issues related to some of the liabilities that Rainwater is confronted with. They cannot be assets, failing which you might find yourself in a similar situation that the department found itself in when it banked on receivables only to find out that nothing came through. As a result, they went for an overdraft on the back of such. As we speak now, the department is still battling with that overdraft. So, having to plan on any debt collection probabilities, there might just be an egg on your face. Now, these are some of the issues, members, that have been raised. Thanks for that. Both the remarks from the chair, deputy chair, acting CEO, and also CFO. Obviously, a number of issues have been raised. Members, we're doing this in order to expedite on time. Unfortunately, that's what happens when you are the last to submit. You get disadvantaged. Now, before we engage, there is one specific area that you have been working on that had to mean that because of issues related to capacity and also the municipality Mfuleni was confronted with. Hence, the intervention by the army. We shall have to give over to to our commanders to take us through. Introducing yourselves and straight to the issues.
Thank you very much, Minister, Deputy Minister. I'm Brigadier General Ntejane. I'm General Officer Commanding of South African Army Engineer Formation. With me, I'm having Colonel Mahapa, who is currently Operational Commander for the DEVAL project. He's the one who's going to conduct the presentation. Then I'll be assisting him in order to answer some of the questions. Thank you, sir.
The Minister, Honourable Members, Senior Officials, good afternoon. I'm Colonel Mahapa, the Commander of the Military Intervention at VAL. Probably before I start, I'll just this presentation, or this intervention, is a military intervention, being supported by various stakeholders, Department of Water and Sanitation, COGTA, Mfuleni Local Municipality, Erwat, Misa, and Rainwater. And the aim of this brief is to brief the portfolio of Committee of Water and Sanitation with regard to the progress made in terms of Mfuleni Local Municipality wastewater crisis, challenges that impact the operation itself. Then the scope, I'll just run through the definition, the introduction, stakeholders, the problem statement, the desired outcome in terms of the intervention that would lead to the scope, the progress to date, the costing, the challenges, and then I close with a photo overview. I'll make an assumption that I'll skip this definition because I'm of the opinion that you all understand what is a wastewater. By way of introduction, because most questions are asked, especially in the VAL, that what is the military doing? Because there's no war involved. Because this was somehow based on the pronouncement by the Minister of Finance, Sitombaweni, on the 24th of October 2018, where he said, open quote, "We are dealing decisively and urgently with the wastewater crisis in the VAL River system. Our immediate focus is to mobilize the short-term financing by reprioritizing funds and increasing capacity. I have asked the President and the Minister of Defense for the military to assist with the engineering and other expertise to resolve the crisis in the VAL River system. I'm happy to report that approval has been granted. Generals in charge have already started working on the solution." Close quote. He further indicated that government will establish an execution unit made up of engineers, quantity surveyors, architects, and other professionals to ensure that challenges in the VAL River system and with Kiani water project are resolved. The execution unit will also advise government on the new delivery and financing models to provide the basic service to the community. Close quote. I'm happy to announce that a day after the 24th, the military engineers were on the ground to do the assessment, and we are ready in terms of execution. Continue with introduction. Sidibeng District has three local municipalities, which is Mfuleni, Lesedi, and Midval. Mfuleni residents are on the brink of health crisis as we speak. As the municipality waste water treatment system fails, it has been brought about by governance failure, old infrastructure, lack of operation and maintenance, and vandalism. Unlawful spillage still continuing to flow into the Vaal River, South Africa's most important water system. Wastewater from feces to used sanitary products passes through unoperated treatment plants and flows into the system rivers, which provide water for drinking and irrigation. Black water with sewage kills people and poisons crops. We We don't hear about the scale of a catastrophe because someone dying from diarrhea isn't recorded as a death because by unbroken sewer plant. This is the concern. In continuing, Mfuleni local municipality, as I said, is within Sirven district, situated in Vanderbijl Park, Gauteng, that is in South Africa. A flat topography necessitated our pump stations to convey influent from industrial and residential distribution network to designated wastewater treatment plant or treatment works. Mfuleni local municipality system consists of three wastewater treatment plant, Sebokeng, which carries 100 megaliters, and Risprate 30, Lugale 30. Now, this slide speaks about the distance of treatment works from one to another. Risprate to Sebokeng gives us 17 kilometers, and then Risprate to Lugale 16 kilometers, Sebokeng to Lugale is 12 kilometers, which amount to 45 kilometers area of operation. This slide just is a line diagram in terms of how the pump stations and the wastewater treatment plant are positioned. It works as a chain reaction. If one pump station is blocked, obviously it's going to affect the other one. So the influent won't move from pump station 1 to pump station 2. Ultimately, the treatment plant won't receive any influent. So that's why we have so many spillages within Valley itself. The stakeholders, we have Mfuleni local municipality, Randwater, COCTA, MISA, Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, the SNDF, Department of Water and Sanitation, and ERWAT. Then the problem statement. The pollution caused by spillage of raw sewage in the Vaal River system has a negative environmental and health impact. The population growth and development has led to demand that exceeding the design capacity of wastewater treatment works at Mfuleni local municipality, resulting in restriction of social and economic growth. In the light of the situation, government approved regional bulk sanitation infrastructure grant that will deliver an effective solution that will eradicate pollution in the Vaal River and its tributaries. The challenges faced currently are spillage of the raw sewer into the Vaal River, discharge of non-compliant influent into the Vaal River, negative environmental and health impact, aged, now I'm corrected, Chairperson, it's aged infrastructure within CDVM regional, resulting in a high maintenance cost and performance failure. The demand exceeds the design capacity of all wastewater treatment works or plants, infrastructure vandalism, and poor maintenance. Those are the necessitated issues that led to the problem. Now, having seen the problem, then we came up with a desired end state. The purpose of this intervention is to resuscitate all wastewater treatment infrastructure to an operational state, and pollution in the Vaal River is kept without any major structural upgrade. To achieve the above, the following needs to be delivered. Gravity and rising mains, all leakage and deficiencies in a network needs to be replaced and repaired. Pump station priorities with 12 current critical pumps, followed by the 32 which are remaining, because in total, Mfuleni local municipalities has 44 pump stations. Wastewater treatment plants, all three of them that I've mentioned, should be refurbished at the optimum functionality. Sustaining the intervention initiative, we need to ensure that compliance with the required legislative requirements, maintain and replace the assets, developing management system, assist in obtaining and retaining adequate resources, human resources and equipment, skills transfer, and transfer to address the gap, as is currently a gap or a shortage within the municipality itself. Now, after looking at the desired end state, we came up with a scope of work. The scope of work is divided into groupings, as it's a big elephant, this military intervention. We cannot finish it all at once. We had to prioritize in terms of priority one until priority three. Priority one, we are going to start with Sebokeng that has a capacity of 100 megaliters, that has four pump stations. That's currently where I'm working with the troops. Priority two is Risprate with two pump stations, and we also do the sewer lines and the piping lines. Priority three is Lugale that has 36 pump stations. That's how the operation or the project is unfolding as we speak. Now, progress to date. Serial number one, preliminary assessment was done from the 24th of October last year. That is completed. Currently, as we speak, there are 740 soldiers on the ground. Three, technical assessment is unfolding, which is done by SNDF, Mfuleni Local Municipalities, DWS, and ERWAT, and the COG down there. Number four, development and technical intervention plan and operational manuals, that is in progress. We are unfolding it as we continue from one pump station, one treatment works to another. Five, currently we are guarding 12 pump stations and two wastewater treatment plant works. We are guarding Sibukeng with 30 members and then also guarding Lukei with 26 members. Serial number seven, finished cleaning primary settling tank. Module three is completely cleaned and primary module five is completely cleaned. They are ready for commissioning. Since we arrived in November the 24th, till date, we managed to clean those two modules, and we are quite happy about that success. Serial number eight, stopping the sewer spillage at the residential house at Buitumelo and Sibukeng. This was our priority when we arrived at Val last year. There's a house adjacent to the pump station where the family members were living with the sewer for a period of 12 months, running out of their dining room. So it was a pathetic. So we took that as a priority to our soldiers. We got there with the help of Mfuleni Local Municipality. We managed to procure all the requirement material in terms of refurbishing that within a week or so, and we managed to restore the dignity of that family. So we are happy about that achievement. Serial number nine, we are busy rolling out personnel to deploy to the remaining 32 pump stations, taking into account there are 44. So currently we are only guarding 12. So we are unrolling as we continue. However, there was a plea from municipality because our initial agreement was once we start on a pump station, we are going to guard it. In the meantime, that area becomes a military, a temporary military zone. So they made a plea that even those pump stations that they have not started working on, we need to unroll the soldiers to guard them. So we are busy unrolling them. I'm happy to announce that the IP implementation protocol and the memorandum of understanding has been signed. Now we'll be in the process now to expedite this operation because the issue was money. So money could not come forth because there was no MOU being signed between various stakeholders. The last serial number 11, complete training in terms of the pump station from Millennium and ILCA. Those members who are guarding the pump station, they are guarding and they do their first maintenance on those various pump stations. Now, the costing of the operation is just over 1 billion. So I won't go through all the breakdown, which included the OPEX and the CAPEX and the procurement of the necessary equipment. The issue that I need the House to take note of is the challenges, because this is a critical success factor for the operation or the project itself. The funding of the operation or the project, it's not yet guaranteed, which somehow poses a risk that how do we move forth if there's no guarantee that surely we are going to get the funding with regard to that. The other issue that we are experiencing as soldiers, there's less capability in terms of transportation within the military. So we, through the Chiefs of Services and the Chief SNDF, we requested a bus because I need to ferry members from one pump station to the other in terms of rotation, because I'm rotating them on a weekly basis. So that is a challenge. And together with buggies in terms of transportation of food on a daily basis, twice a day. We are also in the need of a high-pressure jetting and suction unit. It's a truck. They refer to it as a combo. Because once you have this, and together with the sewer unit trainer, that will somehow capacitate the military to have all inherent prime mission equipment in terms of working with sanitation. Currently, we don't have these two equipment, the heavy jetting suction unit and the sewer unit trainer. Once we receive that, this will somehow limit the outsourcing because government do not have this. So once we have it as a Department of Defense, we'll be in a position to go from one municipality to the other. It will help with that. There's an issue with regard to municipality versus labor. This somehow impedes on my operation in a sense that they are not seeing eye to eye. Their labor issues somehow affect my operation. So as a military, apolitical, we do not want to see ourselves taking sides. So I left it to the municipality through COGTA that they need to sort out their labor issues, because that will have a serious implication. Because if labor is not happy, so labor is saying the military cannot deploy to pump station or wastewater treatment works. It's a challenge currently. The other one that is highlighted in red is the rule of engagement. For the lack of a better word, that's what I came up with. Speaking for the past 2 to 3 months, there was a stoppage where community closed the gate in terms of the operation. So they said no one is going to come in here until our demands are being met or satisfied by Department of Water and Sanitation. So I approached my chiefs to say, what do I do if the community will come and close the gate or throw stones at soldiers? What do we do? Do we turn around and run away with our R4? I don't know. It's a serious challenge. I didn't want to take it lightly because we remember Marikana. I don't want to see my soldiers shooting at our own community. So I spoke to the legal within the Department of Defense. Please come up with any legal document that will protect my soldiers if stones are thrown at them within those grouping. There are members that has weapons. What do I do? Although I have engaged SAPS so that they must be on the forefront, but we know for a fact that SAPS are reactive after the fact, so it's still a challenge. Handing over of the project or operation, we know now that municipality is not in a position to sustain this operation. Once we are finished after 12 months and we demob, who are we going to hand over to? That is the challenge. We don't want to see ourselves with all stakeholders. After 12 months, we look back and then the situation is back to where it was or where it is now. So those are the issues that we are battling with. We need to capacitate the municipality first before we can hand over to them. Even if we can hand over to the provincial government, they don't have the capacity, they don't have the knowledge, they don't have the equipment to sustain this intervention. What do we do? Political interference. It's a very serious for my soldiers, because from time to time I have political parties going and closing the gate of waste water treatment works. They said we have the right to see what is happening. Take into account, when we occupy an infrastructure, it's a temporary military zone. So if they force their entry into the temporary military zone, what action do I have to do? And some of them, they are doing that for political gain. So I spoke to the political heads that they need to speak to their counterparts so that they need to refrain from doing that, because that compromises my stay in the house. The other issue, which is a bit of a concern, I'm glad the minister is here, Department of WS and the community. Every week on Friday, those people they stay at the gate where I'm supposed to go in and operate. They said, if our demands as a community are not being satisfied, we are going to stop this operation. I'm glad that the CISO is behind me. He knows about the issue. So I'm pleading that the DWS Rainwater must come down and address the community, because community have forces to mobilize and stop this operation. So that is a serious concern. That's it, very quick. The other one is just the overview in terms of before and after what we did. This is the house I spoke about at Witumeno, which is adjacent to the pump station. What is alarming about this light? This house is built on a pipeline. I do not understand how did they approve that structure. I guess I'm finished. For those who do not see the primary settling tank, that's what it looked like before. That's what it looked after now, after we have worked on it for a period of 5 weeks. We are working on it for a period of 5 weeks because we do not have the desired equipment. So we work with our construction equipment to do this. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks for that. It's a simple, straightforward intro.
number of challenges and capacity accordingly expected to have been exerted in that situation. We've been there, the committee, since 2015. We saw the challenges that were there. They've got to do more in the main about the intergovernmental relations. Your Ekurhuleni, your Johannesburg Metro, they pipe in raw sewer into that system. As we speak now, you have a challenge that talks to that bigger Sebokeng plant that is expected to allow housing development to take place in that area. And it is not taking place. And that project has been ongoing for quite some time, precisely because of that, the capacity of that plant. Let's thank the Army, our commanders, for such a sterling job within a short space of time. The concerns have been raised, and the constraints accordingly. And some of the challenges also talk to how you relate to the municipality and also the communities. Those are the issues, straightforward. Members, together with the submission by Rainwater, both of these are taken as such. Comments? Questions? Dr. Gavini? Noted, Ms. Mguna.
No, thanks very much for the beautiful presentation.
Maybe let us allow Ekurhuleni petitions so that we have one set of discussion ones.
Okay.
If you don't mind. Department or Rainwater, are you able to take us briefly on the outcome of what transpired, having had petitions being forwarded on the issues of Ekurhuleni? Specifically there you're talking about Tembisa, am I right? Any comments? How far did we go?
There were two petitions. They go back as way back as 2016. The one that was specific to Rainwater in Ekurhuleni, it was with respect to how do I summarize it in one way? In one way, it was with respect to electricity backup supply from the generator's point of view. This was during that time where we had load shedding, and as a result of which our operations was affected. We did respond. We have installed various tertiary stations, backup generators since. They're up and running. We're currently finalizing some of the projects where at secondary stations we will be having backup generators to ensure during the times of power outage we continue to supply water in those spaces. The other one, I'm not sure if Ekurhuleni or department can respond to, from Tembisa, it was with regards to a polluted river in the area. As a note, we're not best positioned to respond to that.
Are you responding on behalf of the department?
Yes, yes, Chairperson.
Okay.
Honorable Chairperson of the committee, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable members of the committee, ladies and gentlemen, I am MMC Nketle, responsible for water and sanitation in Ekurhuleni. I am with the
head of department who will talk to the issue of Tembisano.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, members of the Portfolio Committee, members of the Board of the Water Service Providers, MMC, for giving me this opportunity to respond to some of the issues, more especially the one culprit that it talks to the issue of the sewage, but this is different. It's not the draining to the Vaal. It is draining towards the towards Pretoria through Karlsbruit River and Ops River until to the city of Swart. Honourable Chair, I've compiled a comprehensive response when it comes to this, but I'll be in short when it comes to my response, and also I'll talk to the one which talks to the infrastructure. Chair, indeed, this petition was sent to the city in 2015.
So, sorry, you do have the copy?
I don't have, I remember, I know the petition, I've read it, Chair.
But when you say you have compiled a full report,
yes,
do you have the copy, that's what I'm asking?
Yes, I do have a copy, but I don't have it with me here. When I compile the report, or the copy of the report, yes, I do have. I can.
Can you get somebody to?
Yeah, but I only have
one.
three copies, Chair.
Yeah, let's get one for circulation.
Okay.
Thanks.
Sorry for that, Chair. Chair, like I said, the part of Karlsbruit River runs through Tembisa and Ivory Park in Johannesburg. Okay, Chair. Thank you. Chair, if you look at the report, which it was an internal report that I processed to the National Department of Water and Sanitation after there was a directive due to what's happening in Karlsbruit. So in this report, Chair, there are various problems that are involved in that Karlsbruit. Mostly, it was the intention of blocking the sewer with the intention of recovering the coins and some of the jewelry by the community, and also depositing of the foreign material into the sewer system, putting rats and animal skins, and also the collapse of the sewer. It was one of the major issues there. And also, we can say the poor maintenance of infrastructure. When I talk about infrastructure, I'm also involving roads and stormwater in terms of the river. And also, the stealing of swam manhole, Chair, it was one of the major challenges. I'm on page 2. And also the illegal sand mining. If you go along the coast of the river, there are people who are manufacturing bricks on that. But, Chair, I won't dwell much on the problems that we have, because we've already, from 2015 up to now, there's a progress that we've already done from the city. So I'll take you, Chair, to page number 5. Chair, page number 5, we're talking about the capital projects that we are currently implementing in that system. And then also in combination with all the departments, there's environmental studies that have been done already. And then if you go to page number 6, Chair, we've got 4.1.1, we've got the current
stage of rehabilitation process that is taking place on that in that river. And then 4.2, Chair, we're talking about rehabilitation of sewer lines by Water and Sanitation Department. And Chair, we also have the outfall sewers that we're working on that. If you go to page number 7, 4.2.2, and 4.2.3, Chair, I'm talking about the upgrade. So if you can check, Chair, all
we
what that...
We do not have copies, number one. The copies, we've just received them now, they're being reproduced. If it is all possible, perhaps to get to a point where there was a problem, which is a problem statement, has there been any solution? And what is that solution?
Okay. Thank you, Chair, for that. There's a solution is from Water and Sanitation, we're doing a pipe replacement and sewer sweeping, especially on the block sewers, and also replacing the manhole covers. And there's a budget attached to that, OPEX and CAPEX. And from Roads Department, the delay in some of their projects is the OOLA and EIA directive, which they cannot work on the river in terms of putting the gabions and start with the attenuation dams in the river. But some of the challenges that we've encountered there was the high velocity that eroded the river and exposed most of the sewer pipeline. So there's money already attached to that. The budget has been attached to that. Some they've already started in some of the sections, and then some of the WULA license we have around 422 days waiting for that those WULA licenses. So also the stakeholder engagement, we're doing awareness campaign in that river. So there's a program at the moment. I'll submit the comprehensive report which I've compiled as a follow up from 2015 up to now. Going to infrastructure. HM, the pump station, if Ekurhuleni, fortunately Ekurhuleni is a flat as compared to Joburg and Tshwane. So we don't have a major pumping system in Ekurhuleni, but we only pump to the towers for in case if maybe you find that we'll have to lift the head of the tower to supply on the high lying areas. So we, on those between the reservoir and the tower, there's a pump that only pumps to the tower, and then we gravitate to those high-lying areas. The major challenge that we have, Chair, is the vandalism that we have time and again, but the vandalism doesn't affect much of our low-lying areas. It's only the high-lying areas that is mostly affected on that. We installed some diesel pumps in some of the pump stations where we had, but we still have challenges with the vandalism, like I've mentioned, Chair, and also if there's an outage in terms of the electricity. But at the moment, we're operating, the system is running fully. We don't have any major challenges. Thank you.
Mr. Bosa? Sorry. We still had Dr. Karin on the floor.
Sorry. I just want to mention something, Chair. This problem has not been addressed. They were there this weekend to go and see whether there was any changes on this. Nothing has changed.
Talk about Ekurhuleni.
On the Kalkspruit River, the issue.
Dr. Kabin? Straight to the point.
Yeah, Chair. Well, mine was not on the only TMP sound, but was on the presentation. I wonder whether should I continue or not.
Straight to the point, sir.
Okay. Chair, there was an outcry in almost all the municipalities with regards to the war on leaks, the non-payment of the learners. So I wanted to check as to whether that particular problem has been resolved.
Thank you. Any further? Oh, yeah. Still on the same issue? Or another issue?
another issue.
Okay, sorry about that.
The other issue, Chair, is with regards to I've heard them that they are supplying bushbuckers, but at the same time they are supplying Tembisile Moani local municipalities, which is supplied via rainwater. And then my surprise is that the assets where water is being pumped to, they belong to another municipality, which is Tembisile, but the assets are in Gauteng. Same applies with the other assets that are supplying Tembisile, which are in Limpopo, but are supplying Tembisile. What my challenge is, the very same assets are not utilized by the very same municipalities. It's utilized by the municipalities which the assets are there. So in short, there is a problem of water supply in Tembisile. Hence, it is used by, their assets are used by the other municipalities. So have they checked into that particular situation?
Mr. Mgwene, I saw your hand.
No, with rainwater, no, I must first welcome the report and congratulate you once again on the unqualified report that you got. When reading this book, I found that there were so many findings by the Auditor General. But I'll just pick some few so that we can deal with those. One of them is the one that you've alluded to, but I want a bit of an explanation on that one, on these contingent liabilities. There are a lot of claims. And they run to billions of rand. You see, they come in 10 million, 600 and something million. You see, contractor not paid. Can you explain that? How do you want to rescue this situation? There are so many. Our contractors have not been paid. Get into the yard of a farm. You just get in there, and then the person claims you for damages. You know, there are so many things. How do you want to deal with these contingent liabilities? I think in this page, which is in this book, is on page 231. There are so many. On the issue of the procurement contract management, I have noticed that there's a majority of goods and services that rainwater did not comply with. If you can explain to us, why are these things, are these things deliberately done for not following what you call procurement policies? What is it that you feel? Why do you have such a challenge in terms of the SCF? On the issue of the army, I have noted that there are so many challenges that you have put in there. Issue of funding, heavy jets, whatever that you have put in there. Who's responsible to fund those things? Who's funding? If it's another department, has there been any communication where you sat down and dealt with those issues on the issue of funds? Because all of those things are needing funds. The issue of keeping this infrastructure, more especially the water waste treatment works, as a national key point. Where are we? We once requested that all infrastructure, water infrastructure, be put or be made a national key point. I don't know whether you have an idea of those things, or is this political, or we are aware of those things. Thank you very much.
Okay. Mr. Waters?
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry I'm late, but I was just informed that you were dealing with my petition right now, so I came in. So I apologize, and I'm sorry I missed the presentation from Ekurhuleni. And just hello to the Minister and Deputy Minister. Chair, having gone through the presentation from Ekurhuleni, it doesn't talk to the petition at all, quite frankly. I don't know if you've looked at it. It doesn't talk about the quality of the water in the Kalfontein River. And even, you know, I think my honourable colleague mentioned to you that we were there this weekend and the situation has not improved. It's basically, to put it bluntly, it's like a sewer, that river. And it runs right through, it flows right through a residential area. And as the officials in the Ekurhuleni would know, it even borders primary schools. And the stench is horrific. It really is. I'm not exaggerating. And I'd take anybody from the department or the minister and deputy minister to the river to go have a look. It really is a disgrace, Chairperson. So I'm disappointed that the presentation from Ekurhuleni actually doesn't talk to the petition nor the quality of water and what have they done to rectify the situation. So maybe they could explain. Thank you.
My only issue, Minister, talks to the agency, the infrastructure agency wherein you put together, the process was started by the previous minister, TCTA and also your construction unit. I'm raising that issue in the context of these water boards having all these plans and these budgets that talk to rainwater now talks about having to create a capacity for pipe manufacturing. You have all these other water boards talking about a similar move. Others are already manufacturing. I can't remember which one. Now this is creating of, if you like, a strong buying power by these water boards. Where in such a critical mass that you have should necessitate these water boards having to come together and be able with the department to come up with such a plant where such materials are built. To me it makes sense. I mean, rent water boards budget on chemicals is how much? 2 billion rand, if I'm not mistaken? 4 billion rand. 400 million. But you have another water board that spoke of a budget of about billion something. Now, for me, if you build all or put rather all of these together, it really should make a lot of economic sense for them. Money literally revolving around home, if I were to use those words. How far are we with that, having to listen to all these other budgetary areas that talk to, you know, goods and services that these water boards get to find themselves in? Okay. The question was very direct, even from where I'm sitting at the Ekurhuleni. There was a problem statement. Whether you have succeeded in bringing any solution to that problem, how far are you? So that we are very spot on in our response. Minister, you want to start off first, and then the rest shall come.
When you referred to infrastructure agency, I didn't know there was such. I was checking with the DM as well, but I understand now what you're talking about, having checked with Paul. The second part of what I'm going to comment on is infrastructure for dam construction and all that. We're still wondering what are you, Chair. transform the, not to transform theirs, because they say that would be too strong a concept, but to formalize the revitalization of the construction unit in the department. And TCTA would be the, is a key institution in this, and they will be financial managers. They're busy with that now. I'm hoping to get a report soon from them in terms of how far they're gone. But the construction unit itself is working now. We are using it in all the constructions and construction sites that we are involved in. But I want to formalize that. So it seems to me that it is in line, what you're saying, given what Paul has just told me, seems to be in line with what you're asking. We also want to utilize the manufacturing plant of the department in Yan Kem Dor, Northern Cape, to achieve exactly what you're saying, Jay. I agree fully with you. We might want to look at other opportunities in terms of expanding what they're doing there. And here you're talking about chemicals production, manufacturing rather, if I got you right, Jay. So we might want to discuss those things as part of what we want to do. But we are already advanced in that. The second thing is, Chair, I might just, Sipo, I thought Sipo would also speak to some of the challenges that are faced by the Defence Force with regards to ourselves. I just want to link those two, because Sipo is one of two people we put into a team that must work closely with the community, exactly what the general is saying. Because when we solved the problem, the initial problem there in July, community said they were not employed. We want to work well, all of these things that they said. As a result, we set a steering committee. And we met again then on Monday, this last Monday, was it Monday? Friday. Yeah, on Friday we met with the steering committee again, with precisely because of what the general is saying is a problem there. We met with them. We put in place a program, and I must then really, in the presence of the board members here, thank them for making some money available from the foundation for the training of a. Was it 251? I know you. 250. That's right. 250 people from the community, so that they are able to do work there, and we will then be budgeting for the empowerment of people there. We also want to take a number of, I think 1,800 they were talking about. We will discuss with the defense force. Because we would like the Defence Force to assist us to train some of those youngsters that we're talking about now, so that when the Defence Force moves, but they should continue, we still have to discuss that. I'm saying now something which I'm still going to discuss with the Defence Force, but I know that Tumisani has been engaging. Susiso is here as well. I can see Susiso is sitting behind the soldiers. He's deserted us here. I thought he's not even here. I'm happy he's sitting there, because the two of them, he and Sipo, are actually the people we put in place. We gave the responsibility to put in place a team that will work directly with the community, that's representing Rainwater, the DWS, and the community there. So what we want to do, we want to have the Defence Force to train those youngsters. And then when the Defence Force pulls out, they can then also leave behind these people who would have been trained by the Defence Force, and also oversee the project if we could agree on that. We still have to negotiate that. But that's the plans that we put in place on Friday when we met with the steering committee from the community. I'm going to visit there before the end of the month, so that we can meet with the community and explain to them what is going on. But also, the rainwater is assisted also with the committee members were constructing the wall, the outer wall of the precinct. I am hoping that the Defence Force will have a lot of will do a lot of work with us, as they've done before, in terms of training young people who can then take over and under their guide after the tournament.
Thank you. We appreciate the positive comments by the Minister on the involvement of Randwater on different initiatives. Just before I hand over to the CE to speak to the specific matters, on the contingent liability, I think it is a huge issue, but because we're dealing with $1 billion possible outflow should these matters materialize, but the legal advice that we've got, which is reported under this note, is that the probability of probability of loss is remote, or at that time it was remote, and that's why we did not raise any contingent liability. As we're presenting, we indicated that we are continuously monitoring this, and I'll ask the CFO to speak to maybe five of the main issues, the big one being the first issue, sitting at 657. Overall, in terms of all the issues that were raised by the AG, we are continuing to monitor progress made by management in implementing corrective measures through our audit committee. They meet on a quarterly basis. They report to the board. We are hopeful that all the issues will be resolved before the end of the financial year in order to to prepare us for the 2018-19 audit. Thank you, Chair.
Just on the other questions, through you, Chair, thank you. The wall leaks, Doug, I'm afraid to say that I don't think the problem has been completely resolved. The issue of non-payment of students, it's a matter that we deal with on a monthly basis. We can only pay them if we get paid by the department. And we all know the challenges as reported in the last portfolio committee with regards to availability of funds within the department. We are continuously engaging with the CFO of the department, and with the minister's intervention, we are hopeful that at the next cycle there will be sufficient budget to at least complete this phase of wall leaks, so that the students that we have on board, we are able to exit them with the correct certification. So we are on a month-on-month kind of a basis. If month then comes and the department doesn't pay us, we then have a challenge in paying students, and then we need to find other ways from Randwater to see if we can and can assist. So the problem continues. And we're hopeful that, I'm repeating myself now, that in the new financial year, there will be funding that is available from the department just to complete this phase. We're not talking about any additional phase in line with the resolutions that have been taken before. The second one, it has to do with, this is a Western Highveld scheme. It's a historical scheme in Tembisi Lahani, where you have three municipalities sharing infrastructure. Depending on what one municipality at the top of the value chain does, another municipality, which is Tembisi Lahani, may not get water. Tembisi Lahani is dependent on this scheme. Unfortunately, we are not managing the scheme, but they do have a dedicated line from us through which that we supply them, but the water from Randwater line is not sufficient to cover the whole area. So the operating rules of Western Highveld scheme need to be sorted out. I remember in those days you still had Kungwini. But now I think it belongs to Tswane. So there is an issue of operation of that scheme in that space. We're currently, unfortunately, not involved in that. Those are the two questions that have not been answered. The pipe manufacturing, remember, Chair, many years ago we wanted to go into that space. We put together a business plan, we submitted to the department, and I think National Treasury, but it was not approved. So So we have since abandoned that project. So we are not in the now looking at pipe manufacturing. That's in terms of, as the chair has indicated, around supply chain. We have increased capacity in that space. We have professionalized supply chain so that in areas such as goods and services, we are on top of the issues. CFO, you want to talk to... you're troubling me now.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. In response to the contingent liabilities, I'm joined by our group governance executive, who is actually our head of legal counsel, who can actually then now expand more on this 1 billion claims that we've actually received from contractors. And these are damage claims that have not materialized yet. And from our assessment as a business, we're saying there is a high probability of loss, and hence they are still contingent. But the biggest one amounted to 667 million. Our group governance executive can actually expand more than two.
Thank you, CFO. Chairperson, my name is Ntombi Fikile Sithole. I am the Group Governance Executive of Rainwater and the Acting Company Secretary. Perhaps, Chair, in terms of explaining the total contingent liability, in essence, these are liabilities that are reported financially but that have not materialized. What it essentially means, it means that it is claimed that are made against Rainwater, and in a broader scheme of things, I have tried to categorize them in terms of the nature of the matters. At the highest level, you have issues relating to land and rights, particularly as they refer to encroachments or issues around availability and access to land when it comes to our projects. The other component is issues around commercial litigation, which commercial litigation arises as a result of issues with regards to the interpretation or issues around what I would refer to as administrative justice, wherein parties normally inquire on processes which we have been followed, which we have followed. As indicated by the leadership, I will also respectfully submit to the committee that these matters, when we conduct what we call an assessment or from a cost-benefit analysis, we have been advised by our legal counsel, both internally and externally, that the probability of success in all these matters are very high. The first issue, if I refer to page 231 of the actual annual report and not the presentation, you will note that the 600 million, which essentially is the bulk of the contingent liability, was regarding a 10-year period, a contract that was entered into previously by a Rainwater ex-employee that has now been dealt with from an IR process, which is the labor relations process. This employee had entered into a contract without delegation. Rainwater has also ensured that it follows the process of civil and criminal prosecution against a particular employee. The second issue, which is the 184 million, is an issue around summons that have been presented to Rainwater, and then this relates to what I would call a damages claim. The damages claim pertains to summons that have been submitted to us, which summons are a follow-up of all court applications that have failed in a court of law by the same contractor. So from a legislative and judiciary perspective, the judiciary has agreed with the decisions that Rainwater has in the past taken, but in this particular one, in order to prevent the prescription of the claim, the contractor has then decided to issue summons. I would leave it at that, honorable members. The bulk of the matters, as I had indicated, can be categorized into commercial labor, and finally land and rights. And if I were to just provide the committee perhaps with the success rate of these matters, we are doing very well in terms of ensuring that these matters are indeed they do pass the courts and legislative test. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for that. It really threw that big voice. Had to be the first time talking and making sure that all the energies have to be pulled. And thanks for having paid for your sins to be here.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I will present the implementation plan. I can see I didn't do justice as concerned to gas break. So the implementation plan will highlight each project from various departments until to the end, attached to the budget on what's happening in the gas break. Chair, I can say also that this is work in progress, the gas break, because we have to apply for the EIA, the WULA also concerning to that. But currently, we are at the rehabilitation process, Chair. The study is currently at the environmental authorization and water use license stage for this financial year. Pre-application meetings were held, Chair, with the National Department of Water and Sanitation concerning to the EIA and the WULA. And Chair, the next program that we're implementing in that is the rehabilitation of sewer lines by Water and Sanitation Department. The city, through the Department of Water and Sanitation, Internal Water Sanitation, we are implementing number of capital projects that relate to the sewer infrastructure and gas ratio. So the capital projects that we are implementing, Chair, they are up as follows. There's the Tembisa Western Outfall Sewer, Chair, which the budget is 34.5 million and is divided into two phases. There's phase one and phase two. And the phase one is the installation of the new 450 millimeter pipe to replace the existing 315 gravity outfall sewer between the then Gambinde and drive and main outfall sewer. And Chair, there's another phase two, which will have to do there is just to installation of 1,400 millimeter HDP main outfall sewer, and we will replace the 450 and 900 millimeter sewer, Chair, in that line. So this is Tembisa Western outfall sewer. And then there's another problem that we implementing there is upgrade of existing sewer pipe bulk line. Call that project upgrade of existing sewer pipeline. There's Tembisa bulk sewer upgrade and replacement. The budget for that is 44 million Chair. And also part B of that project. The budget is 84 million Chair. And then also going to phase two, because this is a long line, Chair, we put a budget of 22 million on that. And then phase 2B, we put a budget of 34 million. So also there's an excellent sewer upgrade, Chair, which contribute to the gas rate. And we've put a budget of about 6 million. So we upgrade of existing sewer bulk line ranging from 355 millimeter to 1,200 with HDPE, Chair. And going forward, Chair, there's a Clayville sewer upgrade, which we put 13 million on that one. So the upgrade of existing bulk line, they are ranging from 250 millimeters to 1,650. So the main thing, Chair, is to increase the capacity for the sewers not to overflow towards the Gulf Strait River. So if we go in terms of the progress today, Chair, the Tembisa sewer upgrade and replacement, a detailed design, we completed with a detailed design. The project is waiting for environmental and water authorization. So as soon as the authorization is in place, the project will take place. And also the excellent sewer upgrade, Chair, the one in Clayville, the designs are complete. Also, the project is going into detailed design phase. And also, immediately you get the EIA,
the project will kickstart. And here we are in a negotiation with the National Department of Water and Sanitation to give us the directive to start with this project, because we said we cannot wait for 365 days to get the water use license and all those. And we are in a good negotiation with the Environmental Department also concerned to the EIA. And here we're also doing, in the meantime, as a soft hanging fruit, there are education awareness that we're doing in along the Gulf Strait, you know, especially the developments that are within Gulf Strait, where we teach people not to dump and steal the dump rats in the sewer and steal the sewer cover. So that one, we also have the program called Siakuba, where we take all the leadership to the area where we have challenges, you know, for us to get the buy-in into the community in terms of support. And also, Chair, there's a Tembisa Natural Water Course upgrade project.
Just hold on a bit. The issue raised by Mr. Waters says, having heard this petition since 2016, he has just been there this past Saturday. A problem was raised through the petition in 2016, 3 years ago, that the river is dirty and all related matters that I would imagine have to do with your wastewater treatment plant. That's where the source comes from. Outside of people polluting. Since then until now, as we speak, that being a problem statement, what have you done? Are you saying you have been planning since the time until as we speak now? So that's a simple question, if I understand what Mr. Waters is saying. Okay, so is that what we are hearing? All plans, constraints of budget included, EIA included. That's what we want to understand. Any progress in cleaning that river and ensuring that those wastewater treatment plants are up to scratch in terms of their capacity to handle any wastewater in the area?
Okay, thank you, Chair. In short, the main issue that we had in the Gulf Strait was the collapse of one of the modules from Olifantsfontein wastewater treatment works due to the sinkhole. So we had to close one of those modules because if we look at the Olifantsfontein wastewater treatment works, it operates on three modules. So from that time up to now, we had to do grouting on that module for us not to. First, we had to do the assessment to get the specialists to do assessment, and then from there we had to do the grouting for us not to have more of the collapse of the entire wastewater treatment plant. So we're operating on the two modules, and that resulted on the waste.
Are we making progress, or are you still planning?
We're making progress.
What is that progress? That's all what we want to establish.
Okay, from the city we made allocation of 42 million to start with the work. I've got the detailed progress. At the moment, we've already appointed the service provider to start with the work, and we'll start changing and replacing some of the modules on that wastewater treatment plant. But the main contribute on that under the Gulf Strait, it was the wastewater treatment plant, Olifantsfontein, and also the effluent that we get from the upstream from Jobe. So from the city of Ekurhuleni, what we did, we've got 14 monitoring points where we monitor each and every point in the Gulf Strait, more especially the contact point. We even inform, we have the task team with the Jobe and the city of Tswane concerning to what's happening in Gulf Strait. So there are a lot of things that we are doing, like inclusive the public awareness, Chair, on that gas rate. Thank you.
MMC?
Yes. No, I think subsequent to that, there are areas which I would want to agree that the pollution have increased, which are the caterpillar fed, Motiong, Mfujane, Zonepilo Bridge, which is in Johannesburg area. Hence, in the HOD have said in these 14 points, one is to monitor what is happening on the site of Johannesburg, so that they can also be on par. But there are areas which shows a significant improvement, which are Local Park 2, Bed Atlas Extension 3, Pumulong, but there is part of Pumulong which is in Johannesburg where the pollution is still increasing. So with the intervention, we have this part which has increased, even though we still have to work on the part which have decreased, even though we still have the part to work on the part which the increment is happening.
You see, without knowing the areas themselves, whether it is black or white, these are human beings that are affected by such disaster, by such pollutions. I haven't heard this petition since 2016. Only to be told today of plans after plans after plans. It really doesn't sit well from where I'm seated. This is tantamount to bringing one excuse after the other for having not been able to do what is expected of you as managers. So the question that shall arise is, what happened on day one of that petition being received? Because from what I'm listening to, I am hearing somebody who would have been responding to this sometime in 2018. That's what I'm listening. Mr. Basa?
Chairperson, the department has issued directives under section 19.3 and 53 of the Water Act. And the department must tell us whether they investigated after the directives have been given, whether they've dealt with that issue, whether there was oversight from the department side, because clearly from the metro side, they've done nothing. Absolutely nothing. They're just shifting around papers and planning, and it's nice to see a budget. We are at the end of the financial year for municipalities. It's 3 months from now. They haven't spent that money, so you know we will see a new budget again. Still, nothing has been done. The fact is, the department must deal with this, and if the department don't deal with it, then I believe that we should lay criminal charges against the municipality, officials in that municipality, because they're not adhering to the directives from the department, and then we need to take that action because nothing is being done.
Mr. Waters?
Thank you, Chair, and I fully support what you've been saying. Chair, I would have obviously, like you, would have liked to have seen some action, but also I think practically would it be nice to have the latest water tests, you know, from the quality of water to show the committee and the minister and the deputy minister to show, well, this is where it was when the petition was submitted, And this is where we are now. So we are making progress or we're not making progress, whichever is the case. And just on this document, confidential document, as part of the petition, I did submit some the water tests. So the committee would be a fair with what the situation's like. And if my memory serves me correct, well, the water test says, as far as E. coli levels were concerned, per 100 millimeters, was 345,000. And if my memory serves me correct, I thought it was 80. Oh, okay. So my honourable colleague has corrected me. He's the expert, not me. But the maximum E. coli level should be in any river is 1,000. So it's 345% higher than what it should be. Or times, sorry, not even percent. And it's dangerous. If kids fall in there and drink water, if they don't die, they're going to be severely ill. And that's my concern, is about the health of the residents of Tembisa. So I would have liked to have seen the latest tests just to show, yes, you're making progress, bear with us, or not, we're not. And it's quite clear, and I concur with you, Chair, that no progress has been made. Thank you.
How do we suggest a way forward? We've heard about budgets, planning, EIA, and all what it takes. How do you see the way forward, and what timelines do you have so that we monitor you in accordance with such? Nothing else but the truth.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, when I responded, I've combined the capital nature of the work and the operational nature of the work. From operational side, as the city, we monitor the river, we do the sweeping in the pipes, we make sure that we replace all the stolen manhole covers, you know, and also this we do awareness. And Chair, we have to understand that when you talk about gas grid, we're also receiving effluent from Johannesburg. And also the urban development within, people are moving towards the Gasoil River. We'll have to understand
what
that.
Is the way forward?
Okay. Chair, from the city of Ekurhuleni, we've already started with the implementation of some of the projects, and we still also, we continue with the operational side of the projects which we are doing on a daily basis. So we also give time frames. When are we going to finish the project in the report?
What are those time frames?
There are different checks based on the projects which we are doing. Like the wastewater has got its own time frame. The sewer replacement has got its own time frame. And I spread all the projects within 3 years, Chair, due to the availability of the budget. So, like I'm saying, Chair, the budget is divided across the entire city. We didn't focus all the budget to concentrate. And like I've mentioned, Chair, we cannot implement projects before we get EIA and WULA and so forth to work in the river stream. So those are some of the challenges that we're working hand in hand with the National Department of Water and Sanitation. We have regular meetings based on that. You know, so Chair, within 3 years is the maximum for us to finish what's happening in Gasoil. But also, on the other hand, we have to talk to our sister city, city of Joburg, which they are discharging to the same river. Because the issue of the quality, water quality, also, Chair, is linked to the city of Johannesburg,
okay.
Not Ekurhuleni only. Thank you.
I tell you that, members, we shall have to take this one as work in progress. Come the new sixth Democratic Parliament, this matter will have to reside within our legacy work, or legacy report, rather, that we shall have to deal with later in the day today. Working together with Johannesburg or the department, I would imagine the interest here really has to do more with improving the lives of people of Tembisa for their better. That's the only thing that we want to hear.
for us to take such a long time. And it does happen. One life is too much, too many that gets lost. We've been having all these children, you know, drowning and falling. We don't want to hear any from Ekuru Lake or Tembisa, precisely because you have rivers that are dirty. You have wastewater treatment plants that are not functional or that do not have capacity. We do not want to hear any of such. That's the bottom line that we're dealing with. Bringing dignity to our communities where people stay. I don't think where you stay, you would afford not one day having to see such happening on your doorstep. I don't think so. You'd be the first to run and making sure that on day one, that is dealt away with. Because you don't stay in the area must not mean that it must take forever to sort out the problem. But that's where we are coming from. This committee, when it comes together, it knows no DA or ANC or whatever. We all work with one object here. Through water and sanitation, we bring about a better life for our people out there. That's what brings us together. I don't know if members would be fine with that. Clearly what we are hearing is that this is work in progress. It is moving so slowly though. The new coming committee of the Sixth Democratic Parliament shall have to take this further. It shall have to be in that report, unfortunately. Mr. Bosa?
Chairperson, can I ask the department to follow up on the directives, test the water, and give a report back to this committee?
It's a simple and straightforward one. I don't know if Minister, you would want to respond to any of those.
I have already noted that, Chair. I think it's correct. After giving a directive, we must follow up and monitor compliance with that. I have noted that. It's agreed to. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks for alerting our committee, Mr. Waters, on such critical areas of importance that have got to do with bettering the lives of our people out there. Members, we have arrived at a point where we have had Randwater joined with or rather by Saurgan National Defence Force and supported by Urun Municipality coming before us to submit the annual report and also an update on work done by the Army and then of course responding to a petition brought to the attention of this committee by the Speaker of Parliament. A number of things having been raised are obviously going to be reflected in our report and our minutes. Going forward, these are issues that, again, the next committee that comes shall have to deal with. It's work in progress on a number of those areas. Let us thank you, Minister. This being our last day as we meet this committee on our fifth Democratic Parliament. Deputy Minister, we have had a great time with yourselves coming to this committee as we follow the Constitution, accountability having been the name of the game, all aimed at one object, improving the lives of our people out there for the better. In that whole process, there has never been any relationships in terms of you being my family, you being my friend, we've all been doing our work. That's what binds us together. If members would wish to make any comments, this being our last day, we are more than welcome. Granted, in the
plenary, you are going to have all of those farewell speeches, but in your committee. If we have any comments, remarks, statements, Mr. Person?
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to use this opportunity to thank you as a chairperson for leading this committee in the last 5 years, and like you've said, no politics, just the work of the people. And all the officials of the department and as well as parliament officials, that we were a great team. We worked very nice together, that we never had any fights in this portfolio committee. I can recall the first meeting when we had to introduce ourselves. I said I'm from the DA, and every EFF said the same, and the ANC, and then you said, this is the last time you speak about your political party in this portfolio committee. We are all members of parliament. We are here to work for the people of South Africa. And you took the lead in that. I want to thank you. All of the best, and we see everybody, hopefully we'll see you back after the elections. And Minister, you and the Deputy Minister, and all the officials of the Water Boards also here today, as well as the Army, thank you very much for the contribution that everybody made to make sure that we can preserve our water. There's no other water, it's only the water we have. And hopefully the sixth parliament can take forward what we have done here, and the job is not completed. There's still a lot of work to be done, and we hope that the sixth parliament can conclude what we have started in this portfolio. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, it looks like it's a vote now. Can we go and come get back?
Exactly the point I was about to raise. I would imagine that should be 5 minutes. We are done with the rainwater, with the army, with the Buruleni. When we come back, we shall come back, Minister. Unfortunately, we shall have to do all of those remarks when no one is here except ourselves. Thank you very much. We have to go and vote and then come back.